As you no doubt know, and if you don't know, your children will remind you, it's Hanukkah this week. And every year on Hanukkah, as around this season, parents, both for reasons of principle and for reasons of self-interest, struggle against the commercialization of holidays. We don't really believe in buying you that many presents because we object to the commercialization of Hanukkah. And in fact, there is a clue to what I think is the prevailing Jewish attitude in all this, in the fact that we read the story of Joseph being sold into slavery the week that Hanukkah occurs. Because, as you can imagine, rabbis seek to explore the connections between these two seemingly disconnected events. What does one have to do with the other? And the answer is it has to do a lot, one with the other. Remember, first of all, that Joseph and Judah, who are sort of the polar opposites in this story, Joseph and Judah are not just Joseph and Judah. Everybody in this story later on becomes a tribe. So Judah becomes the kingdom of Judah, and Joseph, his children, Ephraim and Manasseh, become part of the 10 lost tribes. And we have to remember our history, which is that very early on, after Solomon, the two split, Northern Kingdom and Judah. And then, when the Northern Kingdom was destroyed, all the lost tribes dispersed, most of them going south to Judah, some of them apparently going to Salt Lake City, but all of them dispersed, nobody knows where, nobody knows how, and only Judah remained. Now let's get back to Hanukkah. We'll come to Judah and the lost tribes in a minute. We always teach the story of Hanukkah as a story between Jews and Greeks. But everybody who studies even a little bit of Jewish history discovers that that's not entirely true. It is also a struggle between two different groups of Jews. Jews who were called Hellenizers, that is, those who wanted to embrace Greek civilization, and those who pushed it away, represented here by the Maccabees. And the Maccabees not only fought the Greeks, they fought the Hellenizers. And the Maccabees won. For a while. Now, in this desire to connect, Judah represents the Maccabees. Judah Maccabee. Judah in our text is clearly the one who represents the traditional Jewish view, and Joseph is the worldly, beautiful Greek ideal. In fact, what did the Greeks worship? They worshiped beauty. And the text goes out of its way to tell us that Joseph was an exceptionally beautiful man. Yifat toar v'yifat mareh, which is a way of saying, it's sort of an ancient way of saying he was drop-dead handsome. He was gorgeous, and in fact the Midrash tells all these stories about how women would cry when they would see him walk by. Not only that, but Joseph is the one who seeks worldly success. Joseph is the Greek in the Bible. And the rabbis make this connection. In Shechem, Joseph is sold. And in Shechem, they say, the kingdom was split. In other words, Joseph represents the part of the kingdom that went north, and Judah the part that went south. The split between the Hellenizers and those who adhered to a strict sense of the law, the split that we feel even today. The rabbis, of course, were very suspicious of Greek culture. And you can understand why. That's why when Joseph is called Baal Chalamot, the master of dreams, they say Baal Chalamot will lead to the worship of Baal. The rabbis kept Greek civilization to some extent at arm's length. Because we all know what Greek civilization worships and cares about. People make movies about it, like Alexander the Great. It's about beauty and war and success and wealth. And in our easy split apart, Judaism is about faith and truth and loyalty and God. But here is the fascinating point. Joseph saves the Jews. Joseph is called Yosef HaTzadik, Joseph the Righteous. You are not allowed to write a Torah in English on a scroll, on a parchment. What language do you have to write a Torah in? Hebrew or Greek. It's the only other language the rabbis allowed a Torah to be written in. Not only that, but once you start opening the Talmud, you see Rabbi Aristobulus, Rabbi Alexander, filled with Greek names. Antigonus of Socho. The rabbis spoke about quoting a verse from Bereishit. Yefet Yishkon Ba'ohal Shem. They said what that verse means is that Greek will live in the tents of Judah. In other words, that this ideal of beauty, of success, of wealth, of worldliness, it's not totally alien to our people. Joseph is not cast out. It should be a part of what we are. After all, when we talk about beauty, we have a whole concept, and you certainly see it with Chanukiot. When you go from store to store, you see every conceivable variety of Chanukiah. And even in the most traditional stores, and when you ask them, what's all this artistic ornamentation about Chanukiot, they will tell you it's Hidur Mitzvah, which means making the mitzvah beautiful. It's considered a greater mitzvah if the mitzvah is beautiful. The ideal of beauty is not foreign to the Jewish tradition. Matthew Arnold was wrong when he wrote in the 19th century his famous essay called Hebraism and Hellenism about how Greeks and Jews together make the stream of Western culture. Because the truth is that Judaism contains both. It contains that ideal, the ideals of Joseph, as well as the ideals of Judah. In fact, we can think of personalities along the way in Jewish tradition, some of whom fall into the category of Joseph and some of whom fall into the category of Judah. It's not a really popular parlor game, but you could do it. Theodor Herzl, Joseph. A writer, a handsome man about town, a bon vivant, but clearly devoted to the ideal of Israel. And you can, in fact, think of personalities and begin to realize that Judaism is far more embracing than this simple dichotomy. Because guess what? The rabbis opposed the Maccabean dynasty. And the Maccabees didn't last very long in history. Now, don't get me wrong, had the Maccabees not won, we wouldn't be here. Ultimately, the triumph of Judah is essential to the survival of the Jewish people. Judah, after all, carries the messianic line. If you don't have Judah, you got nothing. But if you have Judah, if you have a life of faith and mitzvot and Torah, it does not exclude a life of beauty and success and wealth and power, all of which is represented by Yosef HaTzadik, Joseph the Righteous. I bring this up in part because it is, after all, the theme of Hanukkah. It's funny how celebrating the Maccabees, beauty still sneaks in the back door. We stand in front of the window, we light this beautiful Hanukkiah, we give presents to everyone, and then we say we're celebrating those zealots who would never let the outside culture touch Judaism. But this is, in fact, a cultural battle that exists in America all the time. And there is no simple, unitary Jewish stance. It's not true that everything that is artistic and beautiful and represents the larger culture is automatically alien to us. And it is certainly not true that the prevailing age expresses our deepest values. We have Joseph, we have Judah, we have Hidur Mitzvah, the beautification of the Mitzvah, but in order to have that, you gotta have the Mitzvah. So in fact, the clash between these two brothers plays perfectly into the story of Hanukkah. And so does the very end of the story of Joseph. Because there is a change, a dramatic change, that we don't always notice with what happens with Jacob and Joseph and what has happened in the Bible up to that point. Those of you who are in the Bible class that I teach on Thursday morning know that progressively along the way, certain lines get cut out. Adam and Eve have Cain, Abel, and Seth. The line of Noah comes from Seth, which means basically that Cain and Abel were chosen out of the continuation of the people. Isaac is chosen, not Ishmael. Jacob is chosen, not Esau. And then the time comes for Jacob to bless his sons, and who does he eliminate? Nobody. All of Jacob's sons become tribes. And of course, Joseph becomes tribe through Jacob's grandchildren. In other words, before the Jewish family becomes the Jewish people, before Jacob becomes people Israel, we say we embrace all of you. All of you. Joseph and Judah, Ephraim, Manasseh, and everybody else. That because we are human, nothing human is fully alien to us. So on Hanukkah, as you teach your children and your grandchildren and all those who stand around the lights, emphasize to them that when the lights are turned off and you light candles and you see that beautiful sight, they should enjoy it for the beauty. And they should be eager for the gifts. All of that is wonderful. But it's only there because Judah won. It's only there because the core is holiness. And as Matthew Arnold said 150 years ago, the Greeks believed in the holiness of beauty. The Jews believed in the beauty of holiness. It was true then, it is true now, and it will, God willing, always be true. Shabbat Shalom.